Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of The Scrum. I've got professional punter Aaron Macy and ex-footballer Darcy Lussick with me. Now, Darce, we've got the run-up over Mace at the moment from last week's bets. Unfortunately, his Roosters cost us. Bad omen, the Roosters at the moment, aren't they? Yeah, shit, very football
disappointing.
Side.
Very disappointing.
How many multis have you got so far, Les?
Well, because of you, I would have had one if your Roosters didn't.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. From next week, if you do not get a multi home, you will be wearing the hat until it comes off. How do you feel about that?
Mate, hat gives me PTSD. I just want to stay well away from that hat, tell you that. Cuts off circulation. So obviously, bet of the week, I went with Melbourne. Roosters didn't get up. Cowboys 13 plus only just got up. And then Manly and the Roosters over the 40.5 line obviously got up as well. So that was nice.
That's good. How much that pay?
Zero because of your fucking Roosters. And then, yeah, Darce as well. Obviously, Storm. You got the line there for the Melbourne Storm. Chookies obviously come up nothing there. And then the Cows.
Let's just quickly touch on it. You were at the game. Were you at the game? No, you said you watched the game intently. That was the amount of KOs. What sparked it? You think it was the Bulldogs reunion? That was there a big speech pre-game?
Yeah, well, I think they said that they watched the 04 grand final before, but they come out fired up, the Dogs, but just a few unfortunate events. Teddy knocked out. Who else was it knocked out?
Blake Taff.
Dom Young.
Good to see Adrian Morley back in the side. He would have been proud.
Even Suwali went off for a HIA in that game too. Sammy Walker.
Yeah.
Fuck, it is just a never-ending. It was a nightmare game, that one.
It was an absolute nightmare game. It's like I remember I got to the pub to watch it and then the phone just starts going off and every fuckwit's just like, are you watching it? And I go, what's happening?
It was beautiful. It was great scenes on the WhatsApp chat. Tell you that for free. Great scenes. let's talk about some key takeaways. So obviously, absolute nightmare game, the Roosters and the Bulldogs. We've got obviously Dom Young that's going to be out for the next 3 weeks. But the thing with the Roosters, they've just got so many guys that can come in. Michael Jennings obviously going to play his 300th game.
He looked good when he came on.
I thought he looked real good.
What are our thoughts? I'll start with you, Darce, on the situation with Michael Jennings. Obviously, Andrew Abdo's come out and he said doesn't want to celebrate, like the NRL won't celebrate his 300th game or commend him on it. What are your thoughts on this one?
Look, if the NRL have let him back in, well, I don't know. It's sort of like, you can come back in, you can play NRL, but we're just not going to celebrate you or something like that. And it's a touchy subject, isn't it? Because, it's a touchy subject. But I think the Roosters said they're going to celebrate him. But, 300 games, that's pretty big. And he's come back from, four years out.
It's incredible effort. And considering he's had 4 years out and to still make the 300-year mark, it's not an easy – sorry, it's 300-year game mark. It's an incredible feat in itself. I'm a little bit the same with Darcy. Look, I know there's lots of allegations of different things that have happened, of what he's found guilty or not guilty of. If it's a spectator sport, these guys are out there getting bashed to do what they do. Yes, they earn really good money, but a lot of them end up with pretty fucked up injuries for the rest of their life. For him to make that feat, and they're happy to sell tickets on seats to watch him make tackles and score tries, but then to say, sorry, we're not going to celebrate you. Fuck, to me, I think it's a little bit wrong.
Well, sort of like going up to Bronson Sherry and be like, because you were out and for a mistake you made in 2019, we're sort of just going to say you're not going to be celebrating your 50th or 100th game when you get to these sort of milestones. It's a bit strange.
It's a tricky one, and I don't – there's all different discussions around it. I think if he's good enough to play the game, you're good enough to acknowledge him for it, in my opinion. But there's a lot of different opinions that I can understand why people would go either way personally.
Yeah, we'll see if the Roosters end up doing something for him in that regard as well. But, I don't know. It's a pretty strange one, and there's, as you said, a lot of factors going into it. On the weekend for the Cowboys, Zach Laybutt, he's done his ACL. It was sort of a bit of an unexpected one. There was just a reported knee issue. There was no real, specifics on the knee, but that he's gone for scans in the ACL.
There's been some carnage in the first couple of rounds, hasn't there? Injuries?
Yeah, I think obviously the wet track and the Roosters-Bulldog game and the crazy weather over the weekend didn't really help. Yeah. We obviously saw a lot of – it's a tricky one. I don't know if – like you think about it, back when you were playing and even earlier before that, like no one knew what a HIA or a head, like how many blokes used to just get knocked clean out and be that magic water, come back on, you'd keep playing.
Yeah. I remember like, one time Richie Ferso got knocked out. They gave him some water, put some water on his head. He made another tackle. The next tackle got knocked out again.
Wow. Like, could you imagine?
And then they just sort of got him up and just kept going.
Kept going. Imagine different time. They said he was tough.
Yeah. But, you know, it's back then, you know, if you stayed down or something, you'll seem to soft. But now it's just – the thing is, every year everyone is so much more physically bigger, stronger, faster. Like, the collisions are heavier. So, you know, I haven't seen that they're thinking of stopping the kickoff. You see that?
But how? Oh, fuck me. Yeah, weird. That's a
so strange. I remember doing a little bit of a deep dive this time last year because there were so many injuries at the start of last year, but because they weren't well-known players like they are at this stage, you know, it just wasn't talked about as much. Did a deep dive. There were 72 injuries by round 7 or 8 last year. So we're on that sort of track, but with well-known players now, the amount of stars that are out, I mean, you look at this decimated Roosters and Bulldogs lineups. Fuck, it is so hectic to see how many guys are out, and it's going to affect how the season goes, really.
Yeah. Well, it makes it so hard when you look at, obviously, when you're trying to bet and you want to find the teams that could win the comp. It's not just the best team. It's a team that doesn't cop the injuries in the significant positions.
Mm.
It's such a hard thing, keeping a roster fit.
Yeah. Well, let's move on now. We've got to talk about it. Latrell Mitchell, Dominic Young, they're both going to be out for around 3 weeks. We'll start with we'll start with Latrell Mitchell because we've already touched on Dom Young and obviously who's going to be coming in for him. What are our thoughts on this sort of situation? So, Das, you've obviously been in a similar situation yourself where you've been suspended and having quite a large layoff. Were you expected to come out and apologise, you know, to the club, to the fans, stuff like that in these sort of situations?
No, I was. I guess this is a bit of a different one than all the sort of the ones that I was involved in, but he sort of you know, you do feel bad when you do get suspended because you're affecting your team, you know what I mean? And Latrell's a lot more of a valuable player to his team than I was to my team. So, you know, they sort of really rely on Latrell. And, you know, we all know how good Latrell is when he's on and when he's happy. But, you know, with the elbow, you know, it sort of just lets his team down, you know what I mean?
Like it's coming from stupidity.
Yeah, I think it's like I really think it's coming from frustration. Like obviously there's a lot of frustration there at South, and you know that just doesn't look like a team that's gelling. You know now there's rumors that the coach is going to get sacked now, and but yeah, I think Latrell. Like I think he came out the other day, and you know I think they said that he apologized to his teammates, and you know the best thing for him to do now would just be that like ripping at training the next 2-3 weeks, and then his first game back. Come out and make a statement. That's the best way to sort of apologise to his fans.
And it sort of doesn't help as well when the form has been really inconsistent with him. He's obviously had a massive start to the year, the Indigenous game. He looked like a completely different player to what we saw at the back end of last year. And then obviously in that Vegas game, he was incredible as well. Yeah. All of a sudden, coming back to Australia, don't know what happened, you know, behind the scenes, but just did not look like what we saw in the preseason. It is going to be interesting to see how he comes back from this, I think, Latrell.
Depends what which coach he comes back to. It depends. Look, I think it's awesome that we're going to get to see a kid like Jai Gray. There's obviously been talk that Latrell potentially should go back to the centres for a bit until they either help find form because right now he isn't helping take hit-ups off their back 50. Oh, I mean, I'm really interested to see whether they go.
But it's always been the type of player that Latrell Mitchell is. He always comes in the big moments. Yeah. He doesn't come in all of the time. And putting him into fullback, obviously he wanted to play at fullback, but putting him into that position where you've got guys like Teddy, Pappy, KP, who are constantly involved, almost like a second 5'8 in most situations. You know, Latrell's just not that player. So I think moving back to the centres will be good for him.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Latrell's the type of player that can reinvigorate that team, you know what I mean? Like if he comes out and has a massive performance, sort of tells the team to get on his back, you know, takes those big, strong carries out of trouble. And
but when was the last time he did that? He really does it. That's the thing, especially when you've got a forward pack that – they're lacking. Their forward pack is certainly lacking. Yeah. They're getting dominated by the forwards. Like you need that. Like you know, like a low number set. And when your forwards are out of breath, taking that load off, it's going to be interesting.
And it's a pack that should be dominating as well. I mean, Tommy Burgess and Totola were in form last year. in most of the year. Now it's just like they don't have that same impact and they're getting rolled by some of these top teams. Let's talk a little bit. We'll touch a little bit more on South Sydney in regards to Cook being dropped for Peter Mamazoulis. I think that's huge, absolutely huge. A guy that has given so much service over the past few years since coming from the Dogs. He's an Origin player. He's an Australian player. To see him in a number 18 jersey is just strange. And even he's come out, obviously, to the media a bit frustrated. What are your thoughts on this situation, Darce?
Well, I was about to ask you, actually. You've been the South man. What do you think? Do you think his form's been all right?
He's been one of the better players to start the season for the Rabbitohs. Tackles galore. You know, he's come out of dummy half a little bit more over the past few weeks. His running game sort of slowly started to creep back. You cannot put this all of, like, the past few weeks. It's definitely not because of just him. Mm. It's a team thing. And to blame one player or to take
the whole team. Yeah. You've got to,
is Cookie the right guy to send that message, though, is what I'm saying.
I think Demetrio could be clutching at straws now.
Mm. Yeah, I've had a few people say
that. Clearly is. So it's a tricky one. Look, yeah, Cookie's... Look, I don't think he's been in the best form of his career, but as you know, the whole forward pack hasn't been going forward. It's a bit of a – they're a club in disarray, but yeah.
Yeah, that forward pack needs to stand up because, you know, Cook can't do much except make a million tackles if they're getting rolled. You know, Latrell, you know, they can't really sort of get injected if they're not on the front foot. So,
I expect the Rabbitohs to play a very different game. We'll talk about it when we get into the preview, but – with Jai Gray coming in, he is much faster, Zipier, and is that second 5'8 that they sort of need at fullback there to have that those fast play the balls for Cookie to have a bit of an impact as well. Usually
would have been beneficial.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to
see. I've
got
one question for you, being a big, tall man, unlike myself. Dom Young, obviously, yes, it was high tackle, caught him on the chin. Blake Taff is more my size. There was no intention. It wasn't deliberate. He's reached in. The other man's like falling.
Forward, yeah.
It can be quite hard to not make that tackle. Do you reckon he should have been sent off?
At the end of the day, he got him high, didn't he? He knocked him out. So whether it's a send off or it's 10 in the bin,
it's a massive difference. Yeah. It's like 10 in the bin, East win that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they literally almost won the game with 12 then 11 players on the field.
Yeah.
Like, if they get 10 in the bin, there's a very real chance that they win that game.
But like, you know... Like,
you disagree?
I disagree. I don't think they win that game. I think it's very similar.
They lost by 6 points and they played the majority of the game.
But you look at how that game was played as well. They were very dominant down their left-hand side because of, obviously, Connor Watson being more left-side dominant. Luke Keary was going down that left-hand side as well. Obviously, they were getting a lot of momentum off guys like Angus Crichton, obviously, on that left-hand edge as well.
So playing with 13 players wouldn't have helped them at all.
Playing with 13 players would have helped them for sure, but just with how the game was played in regards to where they went with the football, where they were getting their momentum, I don't think that Dom Young really makes that difference. And he was injured when he came off. He did his knee. True. So I don't think he would have made too much of a difference there. Plus, they had Suwali go off as well at some point in that game for a HIA. Oh, there was so much going on for the Roosters. And I don't know if they win that game, even if Dom Young gets 10 in the bin. But I think it was a send-off. I think that, you sometimes... Look, for someone that hasn't played the game, obviously, my opinion here might be different to yours as someone who has played the game and, you know, has seen these situations firsthand. But I think you should have a duty of care at least to put your body in the right position, even though the game isn't played in slow motion. Mm. He did put his forearm out. He did catch him high at the end of the day.
It's like a split second, you know, like Dom Young's rushing in. Taff? Yeah, Taff's. He's rushing in like, and he slips at the last second. You don't have enough time to react. But at the end of the day, he got him high, knocked him out. So,
we'll agree to disagree. I believe it was a 10 in the bin. It was great to see Adrian Morley back in Roosters jersey.
It's not biased or anything.
not at all. We'll quickly touch on JD, Jason Demetrio. Obviously, his current situation. We sort of glided over it before, but. The big headline around him is the one game to save his career. You know, only a few minutes after we started recording with Shandor, it's come out and they said that he's going to be sacked regardless of the result, and it looks like Mal Meninga's going to come in as an interim. I don't know how I feel about that. He's an international coach that's been with a great side with all of the best players in the world. I don't know how that translates to NRL coaching.
I said before, like, he last coached in 2001 at NRL level. You know, he's coached an unbelievable Queensland team, Australian team. I don't think he'd want to do it to himself, to be honest.
He's got an impeccable record of team coaching.
Why would he, you know? I think that South should just get a, you know, their assistant should step up, you know, if they want to get rid of Demetria.
Yeah.
And I think they call Wayne Bennett and beg him to come back, because I feel like Wayne Bennett.
What was he doing? He can't just go see Dolphins.
No.
He's leaving at the end of the year.
He's leaving at the end of the year. So, and that's who the interim coach is. There's lots of talk that Wayne comes back.
Mm. He got the best out of Cody.
Do you think he does come back? Wayne?
Does he want to come back to the shit fight that is South as well, though?
Yeah, I think he wants to keep coaching, doesn't he? But,
yeah. I don't know if that's the option.
Teams will take him.
He could dead set coach till he dead set drops dead. Yeah. One day, Wayne Bennett's just not going to come down from that coaching.
Because I've heard he's going to do a stand-in role at similar to what Phil Gould was doing, but what he was doing at the Dogs, just a guy that gives advice and stands in and watches rather than a coach at Parramatta. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you would want to go into that environment, especially, you know, another guy like Wayne Bennett who has such a good record as well.
What's the thing at the moment? Like, you know, there's talk of not all these coaches getting sacked, but who do you replace them with?
Mm.
You know, like...
It's almost like when you sack your half at the moment. There's just no halves, there's no coaches.
Yeah, like who are you going to replace with a better coach?
Few and far
there's
between.
Not many out there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next 24, 48 hours, and particularly after the game on the weekend. The Souths game has a bit of a bearing on whether JD keeps his job.
Also, one last thing. You'll see if Souths actually are playing for Demetrio this weekend. You know what I mean? Like, if they say there's no, you know, they keep saying, oh, you know, we back it, we love playing for our coach. Well, there's no better time to show it than this weekend.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. Well, let's see if they do play for Demetrio. Let's get into our round six preview. We got the Knights and the Roosters. The first game, the line is 4.5. Wins at this venue, the Knights are 55%. The Roosters are 73% at Knights home. So they've got a good record there. They also have a 13-3 record in the last 10 seasons over the Newcastle Knights. Darce, I'll start with you. What are you thinking for this one?
Look, Roosters, obviously a lot of injuries. But like, I'm looking through their team list and like they got such good depth.
Yeah.
The Roosters, you know, like they lost Tedesco. They replaced him with Joey Manu at fullback.
Yeah.
But, you know, Knights were good last week, but I think I'm going to go the Roosters this week. I think they'll get it done.
Yep, Mace.
Last 2 weeks, I haven't been super keen on East. I'd lent when I've actually tipped them. I'm very confident this week.
Mm.
I watched the press conference with Keary, and he just sat there and he looked like a stunned mullet, but he just goes, mate, we're just fucking embarrassed because we're so embarrassed.
Yep.
And I think it was like that. There was one of those moments, and I think the team's going to have it where they go, what the fuck did we do? Let that first 40 minutes go.
Mm.
Yes, they are missing some players. Like pre this season, I thought Joey Barner should have been the one. Teddy kind of come out and put egg on my face and he's played unbelievable before getting knocked out. In saying that, though, I think Joey Barner is very good when he does play one. I like him at one.
Yeah.
I like the feeling so far. I think Michael Jennings played really good. I like Connor Watson at six. I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
I think this is a team that is going to be so fucking hungry because they really need the win. And I still don't think the Knights have completely put it together. Yes, they looked a little bit better. Yes, they're going to have the home advantage in that. But you know what? The plus 4.5 East, mate, I was impressed with what they were able to do with 12 players on the field.
I think that the Roosters will win as well, and particularly with the great record against the Newcastle Knights. Plus, it looks like there's a lot of pressure on, you know, Callum Ponga to make things happen. Even though the halves were great, Cogger's kicking game was outstanding against the Dragons in wet conditions. But KP, at the end of the day, set up majority, if not all, of their tries. So there is a lot of pressure on KP. In saying that, there's also a lot of pressure on Luke Keary this week. I think that Connor Watson's going to play more of a roaming running game. You're going to see Keary direct the side around a little bit more. Yep. I want to see how well they can do that. I'm going to go the Roosters as well. I like the 4.5 line. I think there's value there too. Let's go. Well, that's a bad omen for you, by the way, Mace. Storm and Bulldogs. 18.5 line. It's a massive line. Obviously in favour of the Melbourne Storm. Huge line. Just realised what I said then. Melbourne, obviously, they've got a good record at home, 75% to the Bulldogs, 40% at Melbourne home. The Bulldogs have won just 4 of their last 20 away games versus non-Sydney clubs, so not a good record at the moment. What are we thinking, Das?
Look, it's hard to go past a Storm at home, especially the Bulldogs. They sort of just limped home there towards the end against the 12-man Roosters.
Luckily, so I think they're going to have some serious scar tissue of what 12 and 11 players could do.
So I think the Storm, I think they're going to cover the line, and I think it could get ugly.
Yeah, Mace?
I very rarely like tipping when these lines get out to like 18 and more, but yeah, I think the Storm will improve again. I think they're coming from a better form line. It was a real scrappy game against East. I'm tipping them. Where they cover the line, I'm a little bit nervous, but yeah, I think they'll be very hard to beat.
It is weird how the record between these two sides is quite even, obviously over the past 20 or so years. But in terms of Friday games, Melbourne have a 4-1 win advantage over the Bulldogs on Friday night. So good omen there if you want to hop on that one. I'm going to go Melbourne Storm as well. I think at home, like you said, I think they're going to be too hard to beat, especially with Munster back, but still a little bit twingy. I think they are going to sort of get into their groove a bit over the next few weeks, though. Broncos and Dolphins, the line is 8.5. Wins at the venue is 59% at home to the Broncos, and Dolphins is 50% at Suncorp. What are we thinking here? Mace, I'll start with you this time.
Had Reynolds been playing, I would have just absolutely declared. I still think they'll win. I think he's definitely a big loss out of that side. This is the week I want to bag the fuck out of the Dolphins. I know they look like they're flying, and their back line is unreal. Their forwards are doing a good job. Is it Katoa?
Isaiah Katoa at 7's
good. Isaiah Katoa, mate, playing unreal footy. Mm. But like, they got slapped by the Cowboys, who are a dead set touch football side. They then have had the bye and beat 2 shit sides. I think the form from them is false. I think the Broncos will beat them. I'm going to say it right now, I reckon the Dolphins could lose 5 of their next 6 games.
Big call.
They're on top of the ladder, and I think they'll miss the 8. There you go.
Are you on the same boat here?
I'm going to go the Broncos. The Dolphins have done what they needed to do so far. Like, you know, you can only beat who you play in front of you. So,
Looked good last
year. They surprised me. I wrote them off at the start of the year, especially after their trial form.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go the Broncos. Broncos at home. Reece Walsh back this week.
Yeah, Reece Walsh back at fullback, but I don't know how 100% he is, which is going to be interesting. But
Tristan Saylor was good when he...
He's on the bench.
Yeah, he's on the bench. So, you know, obviously it's sort of to cover for him. So you put me down for the Broncos, and I think they'll cover the line.
I'm going to go Broncos as well, but I think that the Dolphins are going to come for this one. They obviously, you know, after the last game, there was so much feeling in it. Obviously, the Broncos were playing for that home turf. There was a lot of feeling in this game. I think there is going to be that similar sort of feeling in this one. Obviously, I think the last time that these two sides versed, Renault was out of this game as well. Correct me if I'm wrong. And the Broncos still managed to win. They've obviously got the record over the Dolphins at the moment. But the Dolphins as well, I think that help by Herbie, obviously being out of this side, is going to be massive, especially when he can do so much with the footy in his hands. In saying that, Katoa, he loves that left-hand side, and Bostock has been unreal on that wing too, and Hammer flying down the left is just going to be so dangerous. I think that this is going to be a 1-12 affair. I wouldn't go too far against you if you were going to go with the Dolphins on this one in terms of tipping at the line, but I will go with Brisbane here. Obviously, 2 games that they've played against each other. They've won both. And they've both been 1-12 affairs, so I think this one is going to be set to be a real clash. Warriors and Seagulls, the line is 5.5. Wins at the venue for the Warriors is 57% at home. For the Seagulls, they've actually got a pretty decent record here, 67% at this specific Warriors venue. What are we thinking here? It's going to be a tough one to pick. Yeah. Obviously, the Warriors back at home now after a huge win against South Sydney, Das.
Yeah, look. I thought both teams were good last week. Seagulls were actually really good. I thought they were really, really good last week. Warriors at home, you know, they always seem to grow a leg when they play at home. So Look, it's a hard one for me. I think that Seagulls, put me down for the Seagulls.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Xander is going wise, Seagulls. Yeah, really changed last
week. I don't know. Well, you know what? I'm going to go Seagulls at the line.
At the line, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The line, but I think it could be, you know, 1 point either way.
Yeah. I want to put a needle in my, because I said on like after the first episode of this, I said that I want to be backing the Sea Eagles at Brookie, and I think they'll upset some really good teams. Mm. And they were just so fucking dismal the week before, and Penrith were just so bloody impressive.
Mm.
And then I watched it and I just went, this is exactly what you said.
Yeah.
You did it, and I flipped. It's going to be interesting to see them once again deliver and do it away from home.
Mm.
I think the Wars are impressive. I think the Wars can win the comp. I'm sticking with the Wars. I don't think they'll do a number on them, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them win by 10, 14 points. Mm.
The Seagulls have got a 10-4 Saturday record over the Wires at the moment too. So if you want to go with a bit of an omen bet there, make sure you hop on that. The Warriors have won all three home games on a Saturday at Mount Smart Stadium last season. So they've also got a good record there at Mount Smart.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to change.
Oh, my God.
Yep. You know, I'm going to change. Put me down for the Warriors.
See, it's good to see Darcy Lussick highly confident in this game.
Mm.
Well, this is going to be a good omen for you blokes. I'm going to go the Seagulls. I think.
Yeah, boys.
Thanks, guys. Cheers. No, I think that with Tommy Turbo and DCE firing, I think they're going to have a real big week after last week. I think Brooksy with his running game is going to be dangerous. I do think that the Warriors, I agree with you, it is going to be one of those one-point affair games. But I do like the Seagulls, with that 5.5 line. I think there is something there. I think the Seagulls could get the job done.
Two of the oldest halfbacks in the comp, I think Johnson and
they are Cherry 34 Evans, and 35.
Killing it, aren't they? So
yeah.
Probably the form halves in the comp. So
yeah, they're looking good. They are looking good.
It's going to be a good
battle. It will be a really interesting one. And the forward battle in this one's going to be so good. I think it's going to be the game of the weekend for sure. Eels and Cowboys. Now, this is going to be one of the harder ones for me to tip. Just personally, 3.5 line. Obviously, at home, the Eels have a 63% record compared to the Cowboys at Eels' home being 30%. And North Queensland are 5-12 losses away on a Saturday since 2020.
So someone, not mentioning any names, laughed at us for tipping the Titans with the start against the Cowboys last week.
Mm.
Yep. I'll cop that.
You'll cop that.
I'll cop that.
Look, Eels were just abysmal, like absolutely abysmal. And they go with like the power of Sticky, the magic clap down there. They really know how to just fucking lift it, that stadium. Yeah.
Mm.
Is your dad giving him like a rev up this week?
Well, like I said before, there was heavy abuse in the family group chat directed towards poor Joey at after the game. But the Eels were just flat, weren't they? Like that's the second week in a row. I think there's been a few changes in the team this week. So obviously looking for a response. I think they need to really get back on track this week. Otherwise, it's going to get away from them the season. And then, you know, they all suck. Then everyone starts coming under pressure. So I think this is the week for the – but it's not going to be easy. You know, I think the Cowboys have been freaking good this year.
Yeah.
They dead set look at like a touch football side. Yeah. It was the only reason I could tip the Titans is just because I thought there was a big chance they could leak late tries. Yeah. And the game got within like 6 points late.
Yeah.
But they can score points. But, put me down for the Eels this week.
Eels?
I'm going with the Eels just because they got the start at home. Mm. I'm not confident. I think when they do get the halfback, they will be a far better side than what they currently are. Like Mitchell Moses is obviously clearly a huge loss. I do think they will improve here. But once again, no confidence.
Moses should go in and ask for a pay rise, I reckon.
Oh,
and he'd probably get it.
100%. He's dead set worth doubling.
I've seen the difference in the kicking game as well. And there's going to be a bit of pressure on Dylan Brown, obviously, in that 7 jersey. Dejan Arcee comes into the side this week for Blaise Talangi. Two very different players. I imagine that Dejan Arcee is probably going to take a little bit more of a directional role and Dylan Brown's just going to go back to running. In saying that, Blaise Talangi's 18th man, I'm hearing whispers that he could come into the side for Morgan Harper and play left centre. obviously debuted there. So that's definitely one to watch for those fans who are looking for an anytime try score, a bit of value. He's coming back potentially for Morgan Harper. They're going to play a very fast game, the Eels. I think that it is going to be one of those touch football type games. It is going to be a 1 point game for me. I'm probably going to go the Cowboys though. And again, good omens for you blokes for in terms of your tipping.
We could have a massive.
This is good. This hopefully has been a good, a nice calm weekend in my family's house. Now they've tipped the Cowboys. That means the Eels are winning. Beautiful.
All right. I'm feeling the love. I'm interested to see where he goes with his house here. Let's go. Take it away, Les.
Yeah. Rabbitohs and Sharks. The line is 8.5. Wins at home for the Rabbitohs, 57%. The Sharks winning at South's home is 39%. The Sharks have a 12-9 Saturday record. Souths have a 8-1 record over the Sharks at a core, and Souths have won the last two of their three games against the Cronulla Sharks as well. What are we thinking, Nas?
I can't back Souths this year so far. But like I said before, you know, the coaches' jobs on the line this weekend, and you know, if they say, you know, how much the players like playing for him, well, they're going to get a response this week, aren't they? So,
or could they be playing for the new coach?
Yeah, well, you know, it feels like, you know, everyone might just be playing for themselves, so trying to save themselves at the moment. But they just got no confidence at the moment. South Sharks, look, you know what you're going to get out of the Sharks every week. You know, they're going to try hard. They don't play razzle dazzle footy. They just, I reckon they're quite boring to watch, but they get the job done. So, you know, if they get wins, that's fair enough. So I think, I'm going to go the Sharks and I think they'll cover the line.
Mace?
I'm going with the Sharks. I've got this ugly feeling. Souths are going to do something. I don't know why. There's no logic behind it.
Yeah.
I just have this funny feeling Souths are going to do something. I'm going with the Sharks. They should win this game. Scares me all the stats of the wreck, like all the other stats, but this is a Souths team in disarray.
This is turning point for the season type stuff for the Souths.
That's what scares me. There's something I just have this like funny feeling Souths could just turn up and do something.
Yeah.
Jai Gray could have an absolute blinder and the problem with the Sharks are they're best and they're worst.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. It's I don't know.
Could we see the start of the Newcastle run like last year? Win 10 in a row and then the coach actually gets re-signed.
Look, I'd love that for myself, mate, and my confidence and my self-esteem and my mental health. But listen, I don't think it will, to be honest. I think it's going to take a few weeks to get out of this sort of hole. And the thing I do like about this Rabbitohs lineup, there's two things. One, Tyrone Munro coming in into this side off 8 weeks sideline stint with injury. Speed, X factor, he's someone that is going to make the big play for you, especially if you give him a lot of ball there on the wing. And I like Jai Gray coming into this team too at fullback. We talk about Latrell, how he doesn't really get involved, how he isn't having too many runs, had 10 runs I think last week. Jai Gray is the type of bloke that's going to have 25 runs. He's going to get heavily involved. He's going to be that second 5'8". I think that Souths are going to play a very different game. They're going to play a much faster game. Can the forwards keep up with that? I'm not too sure. In saying that, I think the Sharks probably do get the job done because they've got a lot more figured out right now than what South Sydney do. And Nico Hines, I think, is going to be the difference maker in terms of his kicking game too. I'm going to go to the Sharks here, and I don't like saying it, but I think that it is going to be a 13-plus affair. I think there's going to be a big scoreline put on the Rabbitohs here. But, look, I hope I'm wrong for my mental health. Tigers and Dragons. The line is 1.5. Wins at the venue for the Tigers is 41%. And then for the Dragons at Tigers' home, 75%, which is mind-blowing. What are we thinking here, Das? I'll start with you, mate.
I'm going to go the Tigers. Look, I don't have much confidence in either teams sort of at the moment, but the Tigers sort of seem to be putting it together. Obviously, they lost last week. But, you know, I won't be rushing to watch this game, but put me down for the Tigers.
Yeah, Mace?
Once again, this is like a flip of the coin. Put it this way. Lockie Galvin was playing. I would declare the Tigers. Mm. Without him there, they are a completely different side without him. I'm going to tip the Dragons just with zero confidence.
Mm.
Just because they've got the plus. Literally because they've got the plus.
Yeah. I mean, Lachie Galvin's been a huge loss in terms of direction, but also just in terms of his kicking game and the fact that he's just willing to have a go and have a dig out there too.
Very different side without him.
And I just felt like they lost a lot of their direction without Lachie Galvin in that side. They were playing a lot more off the cuff. There was a few more errors made. I feel like that could hurt the Tigers. In saying that, Jareem Buller, he is just an absolute weapon. He's been one of the more consistent fullbacks. And even though they did struggle, there were glimpses in that Tigers game last week where they did, you know, want to play for the jersey. They did want to stand up. They had a bit more grit, had a lot more energy. I'm going to go the Tigers. I think it's going to be a 1-12 game. I think it could be field goal decided. I like the Tigers with the minus. I think that they do get the job done in this one. Raiders and Titans.
I'm going to give him a big clap here. He dug deep, but he had ended up with egg on his face when he tipped them the week before. You batted up again. You're very confident. Round of applause, Lee. You got Canberra home.
Well, listen, that's the one of many bets that I've gotten up, I guess. One of many that I haven't gotten up, to be honest, I should say. But, yeah, Raiders for me, we'll talk about them in a second. Line is 8.5. Wins at the venue. Raiders at home is 59%. Titans is 36%. Raiders have won nine wins, five losses record over the Titans at JAO and have won three of their last three games against the Titans. The Titans have won their last two games in Canberra on a Sunday. However, they have also won just two of their last 20 games away in New South Wales or in the ATC.
So the Titans have been a consistent football team for a while now. Consistently shit.
Yeah, well, it looks like it.
I think it's a no-brainer. Raiders, I thought they were good last week, although Eels were abysmal. Pretty ordinary. Titans showed a little bit of fight there to come back, but they just not putting it together at the moment. Down on confidence. You know, Dez would be on psycho during the week, trying to get a response out of them. So, you know, the response is going to come sooner or later. But I think the Raiders back at home will be too strong for them.
Mace?
I'm tipping the Raiders. If they can produce the football that they did of last week, they should be winning this and winning this comfortably.
Yeah. But
once again, they're a team that I think, once again, their best and worst is far apart. But they seem to do find their best at home. I think the power of Sticky could get them home.
Mm. And obviously Raiders having another debutant in one of their key positions here, fullback Chevy Stewart, great last name, by the way, coming in for his debut. Great player. Obviously, he can play center and at fullback. He's got great ball handling skills. He's so tough. He's an absolute competitor. Obviously, losing a guy like Jordan Rapana for the next few weeks with a leg injury, who is a competitor himself and he's up for those big plays, you're getting back another one. And I think that the Raiders are just going to play up, especially for Chevy Stewart in his debut. I think that he does, go really well in this one. I think the Raiders go well. The forwards, Joe Tarpane and Josh Papali'i, have been insane. I'm going to go the Raiders here, and I do like the minus. I think that's great value. Raiders 13 plus for me. Lock it in. Let's get into our scrum multis for myself this week. I've got the Sharks head-to-head, the Raiders head-to-head, 3 weeks in a row for the Raiders for me in my multi. Can we get it home? 2 from 3 would be nice. Selwyn Cobbo anytime. Love Selwyn Cobbo at center on that left edge going up against the Cowboys. Obviously, Labutt out for the year with that ACL injury. Tom Chester, who's normally a fullback 5'8", coming in, doesn't usually defend at center. I think that there is a lot of value in Selwyn Cobbo scoring anytime. And the Cowboys with the line, the -3.5 line, it is $9.52. Das, what are we thinking?
Obviously last week disappointed with the
Mighty Roosters.
This week we bounce back. I'm just going for a short multi this week. Storm head-to-head, Sharks head-to-head, Raiders head-to-head, $1.94.
Mate, all the lines have disappeared. What happened?
Had enough of them.
Fair enough.
I'm buttering up with my chookies. I'm kicking off there. I really think they can bounce back. I'm backing them at the line. So, for the Roosters, the +4.5. I've got the Storm head-to-head. I think they'll get the job done. I think the Broncos can get the job done head-to-head also. And I'm going to finish it off with the Wars. It wraps up it at the $4.12.
Lovely, lovely. My try scorer bingo this week in the BTFU hub is Jai Gray, Tolu Kula, Bryce Cartwright, getting a bit of value in there with Bryce Cartwright. Xavier Savage, outstanding on the left edge there for the Raiders last week. And then Zach Hosking coming in for Atta Mariotta, who's now moving to the bench. I really like the value in Zach Hosking, and he scored in nearly all of his games that he's played this season. So great value in Zach Hosking. You put all of those guys together, you get $10, and that is all under the BTFU hub. All of our multis on the scrum are under the BTFU hub. So make sure, if you haven't yet, download the Crossbet app, get into the BTFU hub. One click, you lock in all of the multis and you get such great value here. Now, for the try scorer bingo, you only need 3 out of the 5 try scorers to get up. So it is just begging for you to put it on. If you are going to gamble this weekend, make sure you gamble responsibly and please set a deposit limit. Lads, great to have you on for another week.
And let's hope next week you're not Owen.
Hope so.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on screen or visit the website.